the perfect time to take a look at our national rail icon, the GAN. Its history has been explored by rail historian John Wilson in his latest book being launched today, The Train to Oodna Whoop Whoop, A Social History of the Afghan Express. Welcome back, John. Lovely to have you aboard.
Good morning, Deb. Good morning, listeners.
Now, with this book, John, what did you set out to do?
I did the Overland last year, and it was a logical extension to follow it on with the GAN, and I was going to try and resolve the problem of the naming of the GAN, which has been a standoff for about 50 years. Now, I should explain that the GAN is the oldest named train in existence in Australia. Its centenary is coming up in 2 years' time, and I wanted to get this matter sorted out before the centenary because the National Railway Museum and the Pitchy Richie people have had informal discussions about the centenary in 2023. Now, admittedly, this is a problem because it's in a lot of bother at the moment because of the border restrictions, but I've pushed on with the history and trying to resolve this standoff between officialdom and the true facts of history.
So what were the competing stories, John?
The version that the Commonwealth Railways put out in the 1960s was that it was named the GAN out of respect for the Afghan cameleers who provided the transport before the railway. That didn't stack up well because in 1920, the Commonwealth Railways banned the Afghans from travelling on their trains. So it would have been quite a turnaround. Now, in one of my writings early on many years ago, I quoted this publicity from Commonwealth Railways, and I got a letter from George Williams, who was a loco inspector and previously a driver in the Commonwealth Railways. And he said that what happened was that when they put a sleeping car on the Oodna Datta Express in 1923, the railway employees gathered around at Corn to see who was going to travel on this sleeping car express. This was quite an event for the Corn people and up to Oodna Datta. And there was one solitary Afghan who came off the connecting train from Adelaide. And we know exactly when this happened. This was at 9 p.m. on the 30th of August, 1923. And the railway employees stood around and said, we'll have to call it the Afghan Express. In fact, the quotation was, "Struth, if that's all that's travelling on the train, we'll call it the Afghan Express." Now, you've got to realise that the Afghans were treated as second-class citizens at this stage. Now, George Williams had a campaign to keep this story going, but the Commonwealth Railways didn't like it because it was against the story that they'd made up, and they threatened George with termination if he persisted with it. Now, over the years, he produced a number of editions, I'll call them, on his clunky old typewriter, telling the story of the Afghan Express and how the name came about. And a number of these got circulated, but there were only two which actually had the name of the person who said the truth, we'll call it the Afghan Express. And one of these was Patsy Adams-Smith in 1969 in her book, The Folklore of the Australian Railway Men. And the other one was a piece that Walter Woods from the Pitchy Richie organisation sent me, and it was Ernie Smith. Ernie Smith was the railway man who called it the Afghan Express. Now, subsequently, the local community contracted that to the GAN. I felt that we needed to find out more about Ernie Smith. And I asked around in Corn and Pitchy Richie, and nobody knew anything about Ernie. So we started researching him, and we have a family friend, Ham McAllister, and she is into genealogy, and she's also written a history of Hague's chocolates, interestingly enough. And she got into this, and we tracked down Ernie. But it was quite an exercise. He left Corn in about 1926. We thought we found him in Broken Hill, but that wasn't the right Ernie. But the other interesting, quite exciting bit was we found Ernie Smith in Victoria. He was driving a train from Ararat to Geelong, and he was attacked by a flying saucer.
What?
But it wasn't our Ernie.
A different Ernie Smith, right.
Yes, but then we found that he was a left-handed cricketer, a bowler, and had the name Googly, and this was our man. And he had a son, Ted Smith, who was a journalist for the News and the Sunday Mail. And it was downhill from there on. It was pretty easy. We were able to contact Ted's daughter, and we actually had a meeting with Ted's daughter at the National Railway Museum in the wonderful Wedgman lounge car. Ted's daughter has a son, and she's been communicating with her son. Now, Adelaide's a small place. I'd actually met this chap a couple of years ago, very briefly, and it was only 8 days ago that we had a deep and meaningful meeting with him. And I think you've got him on the line.
We have. John Wilson I'm talking to, who is a wonderful rail historian and has just written a brand new book being launched today, The Train to Oodnawoop, A Social History of the Afghan Express. He discovered that it was named by Ernie Smith, who at the time lived in Quorn, and have tracked his descendant down. And that descendant is actually very well known to, I'm sure, many of us. It is Mark Butler, federal member for Hindmarsh, who has a lot of railways in his family. Mark Butler, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Deb and John and to all your listeners.
Look, your family on both sides. Obviously, your mum is a descendant of Ernie Smith, who named the Afghan Express, but you've got a long collection on both sides of the family of people involved in the railways.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, John, who's just the most wonderful rail historian, his understanding of rail history is extraordinary, but he brings it to life with this human quality that really makes reading his books an absolute pleasure. And we're launching his book at the National Railway Museum later today, one of Adelaide's real treasures down at Port Adelaide. If your listeners haven't been there, getting down there is a real treat. But he brought a whole lot of things to light that my family either didn't know or had forgotten over the generations, that so many of my family members had been involved in one way or the other in the railways. And I think that just reflects how important the railways were to South Australia, you know, being out here so disconnected from the rest of the country with such long distances between our centres. But the GAN story is particularly a wonderful story because it's such a parable for South Australia's history, I think, sort of grappling with these ideas, these big projects like a railway link between the bottom of the continent and the top of the continent. Just think about what that meant back in the 1800s, a relatively new technology. The ambition to stretch a railway line right across the continent, colliding, though, with the economic realities that we just couldn't afford it, and we never got the support we'd expected from the Commonwealth government. And isn't that a recurring story right through South Australia's history?
That's right. Well, look, for many people, they may not know that on your paternal side, that Sir Richard Butler and his son, Sir Richard Leighton Butler, both held office as Premier and Minister for Railways in previous South Australian governments. But it's your mum's side that your great-grandfather, Ernie Smith, is from. Can you tell us what you now know about Ernie, the person who named the Afghan Express?
Well, Ernie, it appears, like so many kids of that era, had a pretty difficult upbringing. He ended up in the McGill Industrial School. Many of your listeners might know the history of the McGill Industrial School. It wasn't really a school at all. It certainly wasn't an industrial school. It essentially was an orphanage for children whose parents, one reason or another, were not able to bring them up. He spent a lot of years there, and I think we've found over the last couple of decades through the Royal Commission that Jay Weatherall set up here in South Australia and the Forgotten Australians process nationally, that was a pretty rough road for those young people. Thankfully for Ernie, a family took him in when he was a teenager, and that family lived in Peterborough, which, as your listeners would know, is a really important railways town in South Australia. And I think that's where he developed his love for the railways and ended up an engine driver. And he ended up a very active unionist, a shop steward for the Locomotive Engine Men's Union, which was the union for engine drivers, particularly famous because Ben Chifley was a leader of that union before he went into the parliament. And because, you know, back then it was pretty difficult being a union shop steward, even though he lived in Adelaide by that stage, raising his children, which included my grandfather, he was often sent out of town just to get him away from the big workshops. As a union delegate, the employer wanted him out of town, out of the way, out of sight, out of mind. And so he spent a lot of his time up in Quorn, even though he lived in Adelaide. And it was when he was driving up in Quorn that John's story really, really happened. And it's a really interesting little microcosm, I think, of how the sort of grassroots understanding about an event sometimes clashes with the official history that the government, particularly the national government, thinks is just a more convenient way to explain things.
Mm. Well, Mark Butler, thanks for making time to speak to us this morning, not as the federal member, not as the Shadow Minister for Health and Ageing, but as the great-grandson of Ernie Smith, the man who named the Afghan Express. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Deb.
Thank you. John Wilson is the author of the book that's got to the bottom of who named the GAN, the Afghan Express, which is Ernie Smith. It's called The Train to Oodna Whoop Whoop, The Social History of the Afghan Express. We've only got a couple of minutes, John, and you've got a book full of great yarns, but can you leave us with another story?
Yes, I've got a ripper. It's about Ted Smith, who is Ernie's son. And I've got to mention Des Smith. Now, Des Smith is no relation to Ted or Ernie Smith. Des was the engineer who put the standard gauge railway through to Alice Springs in 1980, and he's living in retirement in Adelaide, and I've had a lot to do with him. In 1957, he was a young engineer on the construction of the Maree Railway, and in 2013, which was more than 50 years after that event, he wrote this piece about the construction of the Maree Railway, and I'll read it out. The camp toilet arrangements consisted of a row of four old single dunnies on a flat wagon. They had no doors, and the rear flaps had been taken off for convenience in changing the pans. In June 1957, when the railway was nearly finished, the Sunday Mail sent a journalist, Ted Smith, to have a look at us. One night when we were enjoying a beer or two and a yarn, he had to go. He came back uttering obscenities. The view of the starry sky was nice, but the wind whistling up through the opening at the back was much too cool. He complained that it was impossible to drop the paper down into the pan. The wind came and carried it back up for a couple of whirls around his head before it sailed out the open doorway into the night. Our old engine driver, Charlie Riley, quickly set him right, saying, "You never go there without a pocket full of ballast. Just wrap the paper around the stone and it will drop down okay." Ted's utterance, he came back saying it had to be the coldest crap in South Australia.
The coldest crap in South Australia. I love it, John. Look, congratulations on another great book. Thank you for documenting our incredible rail history. And congratulations on the new book, The Train to Oodna Whoop Whoop, A Social History of the Afghan Express. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Deb.
Thank you. And of course, John has written several other books, including The Riesling Railway in 2018, Bob the Railway Dog, Bob's Railway in 2019, and The Overland, A Social History last year.